come to question 144 this evening. So if you have a copy of an Orthodox catechism, please turn there with me. If you don't have a copy, as you know, there's a copy of our question and answer in the back of your prayer sheet as well. Look there with me as I read question 144. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That's the petition. We ask that you give to us everything which is needful for this life, that by these things we may acknowledge and confess you to be the only fountain from where all good things flow. We also confess that all our care and industry and even your own gifts are unfavorable and harmful to us unless you bless them. Grant that turning our trust away from all creatures, we place and rest it in you alone. We'll have 3 points this evening. 1, the appropriate request and the proper confession. 2, a conviction that all things must be blessed by God. And 3, a request of God's grace to keep our attention and focus on Him. Well, 1, the appropriate request and a proper confession. First, the appropriate request that we should have is, and we'll see that there in our answer, that you, that is God, give us everything which is needful for this life. That you, God, would give us everything which is needful for this life. This language does help us to understand that when it states that we should ask for our daily bread, it is not just referring to our daily bread in that which we put into our refrigerators or that which we eat, but the daily needs that we have in our lives. It's not just that literal food that God does provide for us, but it is that daily need of nurture, of a home, and of things that the Lord provides for us to be able to meet our daily needs. When we go to God, when we go as God's children to Him in prayer, after we have acknowledged that He, who He is, and desiring that His will be done, we can then request that He might graciously provide for us our daily bread and our daily needs. This is not hard for us who live and function in the American church, though. It's very easy for us to be able to ask for our daily bread, knowing that it's already there. We're not suffering in like other people do in other countries where they really are asking the Lord for their daily physical bread. But we have an advantage here in America by God's providence, and He has blessed us and He's given us much more than we need. And I don't mean that people here don't struggle and have needs, but relatively we have a pretty good thing going for us here in the American church and the American people. And even us in this room have many things in our closet that we can wear tonight. Others would maybe have one or two things. So it's a little hard. This can make it hard for us to discern between wants and needs, I think, as Christians as well. So we must be careful that we take heed of the wisdom contained in the Proverbs that tells us in Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and still and profane the name of my God." That God might provide for us not too much and not too less, that we might not profane His name by stealing or forget who He is because we're so surrounded by all the goodness and the good things that He's given us and we replace Him with these idolatrous things that are so easily temptations for us to follow after. Well, we come to God with an appropriate request, that is, that He would give us those things that we need. The confession being that which our answer gives us when it says that by these things we may acknowledge and confess you to be the only fountain from where all good things flow. This is a very, very strong practical application for us as Christians, that we would confess that you are the one, the only fountain from where all good things flow. When we request our daily bread with the right motive, that is God's glory, that is that which we need, not what we want, we will then be able to confess that all that we have comes from the gracious hand of God and from only Him alone. And from only Him alone. This will give us the ability not to be anxious or to worry about our daily needs. We have this plethora of anxiety and worry in our country about what are we going to be able to, if whether or not we're going to have this or whether or not we're going to have this. Well, I think the catechism points us to a large portion of scripture that I'd like to read, and if you would turn there with me, it's familiar to us, but it's appropriate for us to read and be reminded to by our Lord of not being anxious for the things that what you're anxious about. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 25 and following. And I just want to read that in our hearing so that we are encouraged by this section of the Lord's words to us. Our Father in heaven, the Son of God, is telling us these things, and they should be an encouragement to us, especially in times of anxiety or worry, or where we are asking for our daily bread but not content. Therefore, I tell you, he says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Encouraging words from our Lord to us. Here reminding us that we have no reason to worry about our daily needs if we are seeking first and foremost the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God, that we might be able to submit to his will in our lives and receive even the crumbs that come off of his table, that we might be able to move on and on in our walk with the Lord. Well, secondly, a conviction that all things come from God must be blessed by him if they are to profit us. Our answer continues, we also confess that all our care and industry and even our own gifts are unfavorable and harmful to us unless you bless them. Here we see that it is true that all that God gives us is from his hand, but we must remember that those things must be blessed by him. They must be blessed by him, meaning it is important that we do not receive that which God has given us, which all things that God gives is good, because God is good, those things that he has given us, and forget to acknowledge that it is from his gracious hand and attribute them to something or someone else, and even more wickedly, attribute them to ourselves, as if we can do anything on our own or provide anything for ourselves, unless the Lord himself even gives us breath and life and mercy to get up in the morning to do those things. The Catechism gives us Acts 14 through 17 as a proof text, which comes in the context of Paul and Barnabas in Lystra, and Paul seeing a man who was crippled from birth, who had faith that he could be healed, and Paul performs this miracle. The man is able to walk, and granting this man the ability to walk, the heathens and the wicked who saw start to attribute this miracle to false gods and even call Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes. The apostles becoming very angry in this response towards them. In verse 15 it says, men, this is the apostle saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you. They are creatures, they are creaturely, they are not gods. That you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, this is the verse that the Catechism gives us, verse 16 and 17. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Verse 18, even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifices to them. John Gill, commenting on verse 16 and 17, he says this. He says, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. That's verse 16. Who in times past, he says, for many hundreds of years, even since God chose and separated the people of Israel from the rest of the nations to be a peculiar people to himself, from that time he suffered all nations to walk in their own ways of ignorance, superstition, and idolatry, which they devised and chose and delighted. Not that he gave them a license to walk in these ways without being chargeable with sin or with impunity, but he left them to themselves to the dim light and law of nature, and gave them no written law, nor any external revelation of his mind and will. That would be his special revelation. Nor did he send any prophets or ministers of his unto them to show them the evil of their ways, and turn them from them, and directed them from the true God and the right way of worshiping him, but left them to take their own methods and pursue the imaginations of their hearts. But the apostles suggest here that the case was now altered. Here in Acts chapter 14, it's now altered. And God had, not specifically at that time, but the time that God sent ministers and prophets to them. And God sent them and other ministers of his among all nations of the world to protest against their superstition and idolatry, and to reclaim them from their evil ways, and to direct them to the true and living God and his worship, and to preach salvation by his son, Jesus Christ. End quote. God in the past gave the wicked even good things like their daily bread, rain to fill their crops with food, given them marriage to be merry and children to be blessed by, but it was not accompanied by the special blessing of God that he gives his people so that they might give him glory for those things. But to the contrary, they were giving worship to idols and to other gods for those things. Concerning verse 17, John Gill says this, and verse 17 says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." He says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness of his kindness and goodness to them during this long interval period of time, for they had not the written law, yet they were not destitute of the law of nature, and had besides many instances of providential goodness by which they might have not known God, and should have been thankful to him and glorified him as God, and not have worshipped the idols of their own hands." It sounds like Romans 1 and 2, doesn't it, when Paul says that they worship the creation instead of the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The goodness of God should have led them to repentance, Gill says, and not have been abused to so many wicked purposes as it had been, in that he did good in a providential way to persons very undeserving of it. So it kind of reminds you of that the rings of Jesus' words, where he brings rain upon the just and the unjust. Right? He's benevolent in his love towards the wicked, but he has not placed his special love upon his non-elect. But even those as our neighbors or beside us that we see that are blessed and curse the name of the Lord, that is the Lord's goodness to them. But unless they praise him, that will also be the judgment that is poured out upon them for not worshiping and loving the one true God who provided those things to him. So, brothers and sisters, just as a way of application, we must be very careful not to take those things that God has given us that are good and abuse them. Or take those things that we love so much and worship them and put them before our Lord. This has a lot to do with the first tablet of the law of God here. The contentness that we have in God and the things that he gives us, but also that we don't take those good things and we don't use them as ways to point us away from Christ, instead of having those things point us to Christ and the glory of God who gives all good things to us. So may we be those who repent anytime we find ourselves taking that daily bread, that daily goodness that God has given us, and putting those things before our Lord, like the wicked heathens did in the Old Testament, and like the wicked heathens of today do when we see them praising themselves and others for what they have, instead of humbling themselves and thanking God as beggars, as sinners who are in need of their Father's love and kindness and benevolence daily. Lastly and thirdly, a request of God's grace to keep our attention and focus on him. Our catechism ends with, "Grant that turning our trust away from all creatures, we place and rest it in you alone." Once again, reminding us here that we are in need of our daily bread and daily needs, in need of our daily bread and daily needs, or have anxieties about daily circumstances, though we are tempted to put our focus on those very things or seek out worldly comfort. We are to remember that we are to place those things at the feet of our Father, that is, trust him and him alone as the provider of all good things. Grant that turning our trust away from all creatures, we place and rest it in you alone. Do we, brothers and sisters, and I know we do fail because we are sinful men, but we must ask that God would grant us to turn all of our focus away from creaturely things and of creation and focus on the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. God's children are to seek their gracious Father in heaven and receive from Him what He knows what is best for us. And we are to be those that when God does give us our daily bread and God does provide us more than we need, not to abuse that we might have to ask for more and more and more because we start to take advantage of the graces that God has given us, but that we would be focused not on the creature, which is all things created by God, people and things, and focus on God alone and give Him the praise for all the things that He's given us. Well, most of what we've talked about has been physical, temporary bread and needs. But what is the most important need and important bread that we as Christians need and all those who are without Christ need? But that spiritual aspect of that daily bread, right? That spiritual bread, that bread who Jesus calls Himself when He says in John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He is that bread of life. He is that water that we no longer go thirsty because He is that spiritual bread, that spiritual nurture, that spiritual heavenly bread that comes down from heaven that provides for us and provides for us not our daily needs, but has provided for us that need in which we were in need of, and that is salvation. That is saving from our sins. You see, the only way that we can receive our daily bread and needs with the blessing of God's special grace attached to them is when we partake first in the bread of life who came in the flesh to lay down His life for sinners like you and I. It is not until we spiritually partake of the bread of life that we can be partakers and true partakers of God's blessings on this side of glory and appreciate them and be thankful for them in a proper, godly, and a godly motive towards God for those things. And how do we do that? Well, the way that the majority of us in this room is, it's evening service, so I'm preaching to the choir, but the majority of us here have come to that place where we have come and seen our need for Christ. We have seen that we were starving, that we were darkened, we were in darkness, and that we were without life, and that there was nothing fulfilling us except our sinfulness, but God opened our eyes to see that that was not fulfilling and that we needed to turn away from those sins. And He gave us the ability to trust in and partake in the bread of life who came to save us from our sins. And we repented and we trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're following after Him. And now we can pray, Lord, give us our daily bread. And we can be content with that daily bread, whether it is small or whether it is large. Whatever the Lord gives us, it is sufficient for us. And we must believe that it is sufficient for us. Every one of us as individuals, God will give to in different portions, but we must understand that He has already given us all that we need in Christ. That at that day and at that banquet, when we sit down with Him, we will see that it was sufficient enough for Him to come and save us from our sins and even leave us where we're at and us wait as beggars for Him at the table until He came back to get us. But He is so gracious and He is so good to us that He gives us so much more than that. And for us to take advantage of that would be sinful, and we need to repent of that. But brothers and sisters, let us be grateful and thankful that we can go to our Father in heaven, we can hallow His name, we can ask for His will to be done in our lives, and we can ask for our daily bread, and He promises us that He will give us that daily bread according to His perfect will in our lives, and to Him be the glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are spoiled. You have given us so much more than we need. Lord, we ask that Your Spirit would cause us to move all of those things to the side daily and have us to look to Christ, the gracious giver of all things. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've given us in Christ. We thank You for His mercies and graces. Lord, I pray that those who do not know You, those who are struggling with even sin now that are amongst us, Lord, help them to see that they have abused the goodness that You have shown them in their lives, Lord, and cause them to turn from their sins and to trust in Christ. And Lord, Your people who are following after you, even now, we have done so as well. So grant us repentance, Lord, as well. Most of all, Lord, we pray that as that repentance is granted, that we would have our conscience cleared and our minds cleared to see the glory of Christ, the giver of life, the one who is gracious in all ways to us and will be to the end. And we will not see that grace fully until we stand before you face to face in glory and see how gracious you truly are, Lord. Thank you, the bread of life, our Savior. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen.